FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Treatment has begun for King Charles. Buckingham Palace announcing that the king has been diagnosed with cancer.
The word cancer is always very shocking, and I think in any family that is felt. Across the United Kingdom, people know who the king is. He's been part of their awareness ever since he was born. And so news that he has cancer as head of state is quite a shock.
That's ABC News Royals contributor Alistair Bruce. The rain is still coming down in Southern California. Massive storm system still soaking the state with historic amounts of water. There were 300 mudslides in Los Angeles alone yesterday. That storm should start to move on today. The House moving ahead with impeachment proceedings against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The border security bill seems dead as of right now. Senate negotiators had been working on the immigration plan for months, tying funding to support for Ukraine and Israel. However, former President Donald Trump urged Republicans not to support it. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are again seeking to define what witness address information must be on an absentee ballot envelope in order for the vote to count in Wisconsin. A bill introduced this week is similar to one Governor Evers vetoed 2 years ago. It's scheduled to get a public hearing tomorrow. Experts say expanding the child tax credit would lift as many as 400,000 American kids above the poverty line in 1 year. Chris Cox is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Half of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $600 or more from the bill. And about 40% of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $1,000 or more from this bill.
A bill to revive the expanded credit passed the U.S. House last week. Final adoption is not guaranteed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth School District is considering a $5.2 million per year technology referendum. The referendum would provide the school district with $5.2 million per year for a 10-year term to upgrade its digital infrastructure and physical security. It would include things like learning technology upgrades for students and technology and security maintenance staff. The proposed referendum will appear on the May 14th ballot in the city. Property taxes would increase about $11 for a $315,000 home. Three people were killed and others injured after a crash near Northome on Sunday morning. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, the crash occurred around 11 a.m. on Highway 1 and involved two pickup trucks colliding head-on. Two Minnesota residents and one Bloomer resident were killed in the crash. Another Bloomer man and a Menominee man were taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, and a third Bloomer man was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The crash is under investigation. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
The Packers making more coaching changes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers making moves on their defensive coaching staff after firing Joe Barry and hiring Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley. Gone are linebackers coach Kirk Olivandotti and defensive back coach Greg Williams. They have hired a new defensive line coach, Vince Ogabasi, replacing Jerry Montgomery, who had held that position since 2015. Ogabasi has connections to the 49ers and served with the Packers' new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, at Boston College. Last night at Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes asked about his father's most recent arrest in Texas over the weekend, charged with drunk driving.
It's a family matter. So I'll just keep it to the family, and that's all I really have to say at this point.
It's his father's third offense. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks road trip winding down. They're in Phoenix against the Suns tonight. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers slipped from 6th to 11th ranked in the nation after those back-to-back losses. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead.
Seek out the sunshine while it's here. Clouds thickening today as high temperatures surge into the low 50s. We'll be stuck under cloudy skies tomorrow as highs hit 50. Then rain rolls in by Wednesday night and lingers into Thursday. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday, that means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And before we get into cell phone addiction and the elders, and just doesn't sound right.
So, well, you know... But it's something we can talk about.
So being
cell phone users.
Friday, again, at 8 o'clock, we're going to be joined in studio by United States Senator Ron Johnson. If you have a question that you would like to ask of the congressman, go to civic.audio/Earl. And Sandy, you'll explain that again.
Well, there's a program in use that develops a consensus analysis of all the questions that our caller, that the people that are on the, that might access that website and indicate what questions they would like to see asked. That program will analyze all of those inputs and develop for us some consensus questions.
So, as promised before we went to break, so, Sandy, I'm a guy who did not get a smartphone until probably 3 or 4 years after they came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was the guy who held on to the
flip phone.
The flip phone.
Yeah.
And I never will forget my wife. I was doing radio. And my wife said, "Hey, you're doing radio. You've got to get a smartphone." And so I never will forget when she got me my first smartphone. I used to always say, I'd watch people walking down the street, Sandy, with their heads buried in their phones, and they're walking across, and I said, "That will never be me. Never. It's never going to be me."
And that isn't true anymore, is it?
No, Sandy, that's me.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are some studies that have been taken that point out that the elders and smartphones, if we don't use them properly, they can cause us some discomfort.
Well, you certainly should only use them for the purposes for which they were. But that's not what you mean.
No,
you don't mean that they'd be misused in some physical sense.
No.
We're talking about like using them too much.
Yes.
Or using them in the couple of hours prior to sleep. Because I think there have been plenty of studies that the blue light, the light that comes out of these things and the process your brain goes through to process it, is bad for sleep.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Rapid social development has made the elderly increasingly dependent on mobile phones, and mobile phone addiction has a negative effect on sleep quality. The underlying mechanism between the two is unclear. This study examined the mediating role of depression and loneliness in the relationship between phone addiction, sleep quality, in older adults.
Well, you know what's going to happen, though? When artificial intelligence gets really good, the conversations we'll be able to have with our phones will be so meaningful, you know, and so personal that, I'm joking now, but, you know, phone use, you know, for the elderly, in many respects, it opens a world as well. So there's a fine line here between, I don't think it can safely be said that smartphone use by the elderly is bad. No, but smartphone overuse or sinking into sort of an addiction to parts of the cell, things you can do within the cell phone, you know, the kinds of sites you can go to and run down rabbit holes. But, you know, everything's like that. You know, TV can be an addiction too. People can, I suspect that the elderly could have suffered from watching too much TV when TVs were the main villain in terms of how you soaked up time. The study you described was done in China. I'm confident that it's pertinent to the United States as well.
So, but you just pointed out to me, Sandy, the reason, you know, I've got to come clean.
Yeah.
And when I go to bed, I have my cell phone with me.
Yeah.
And there are times I don't fall asleep. I'm paging through the cell phone.
Well, you can look it up, but I've read studies that suggest that it's two things. One, it's the kind of light that these things put out, and two, it's also the process your brain goes through in processing.
That's got to be it.
It creates sort of a hyperactivity that it is not conducive to sleep.
And so I'm having trouble sleeping and waking up, and I got to believe that's what it is. So now that I, you know, read this article, and I now, you know, the all wise and knowing Sandy Williams has made it clear, I'm going to make sure that I leave that phone away from my bed. But maybe the damage is already done before you go to bed.
Maybe some listener might know a lot more about this than we do.
We've got some listeners.
But I'm confident that some use is okay, but there is a problem with both computer use and cell phone use in the period immediately prior to sleeping that they have. And there's been a lot of sleep studies lately. And of course, everyone who wears an Apple Watch or a similar watch can wake up in the morning and find out how well they slept.
Yeah.
They don't even have to ask themselves. They go to their phone, look at the app, I do, and find out whether I had a good night's rest or not.
So you wear the phone to bed?
I wear an Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Bill from McConnell. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts?
Great topic, as always. You know, the cell phone is so interesting to me because I'm in my 70s, and it has made my life so easy.
Yeah.
So easy, whether it's bill paying, emails, what have you. We got rid of all our laptops, all our computers. We just use the phone, my wife and I. And we can do almost anything with it. I don't have a printer with it, but I didn't even know how to download that and go get anything I need. The problem I think you're talking about is when do they become a help and switch over to become dependent?
Right.
I don't think dependency on a cell phone is very typical, but there are people that are dependent on it. Now, I'm dependent on it because if my battery would go totally dead and I'd be somewhere and I wouldn't have it, I would have a very difficult day. I'd survive. I'd get home. There'd be food on the shelf the next day. But I think, like in everything, moderation is the key. What do you guys think? Where does it become a problem and not a help? I'm asking.
Well, Bill, I think you aced it, Sandy.
Well, yeah, I think the Apple phone will tell you how you spent your hours on the phone, you know, what apps you were using and how much time you were spending on those apps. And I think if someone's phone showed them that they were spending 6 hours a day on TikTok, you'd know they had a problem. So I think it's overuse of certain kinds of things. I mean, you're right, Bill. The phone, you know, the ability to Google and gather information. I mean, the phone has allowed people to be lifelong learners, really. The information and new information is so accessible. And so I think that the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages, but I'm confident that it can be overused. Just like I'm sure there were particularly elderly people who became zombies to the television.
Sam,
did nothing but watch television all day.
I believe that it certainly, and what made this article stand out to me was they're talking about the elders. Normally when you're talking about cell phones and electronics, we're talking about young people.
Yeah.
And the fact that the elders now, some of us, which includes me, I know I'm spending way too much time. My phone even tells me how much time I spent on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we gotta start focusing on that. And now imagine lonely people, right? I mean, you and I have wives at home, and so, but it can become an issue when you spend more time with your phone than you do with your.
Yes.
Well, Sandy, that happens, I think, sometimes, right?
gosh.
Well, hey, our significant others are listening, so I think we should.
Yeah, I'm sure it does
tread very lightly.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll say this because, and we'll get to the other callers. It is something that opened my eyes. I won't be going to sleep with my phone next to me this evening. Because now that, you know, it's something has to be going on when you at night when the phone changes the focus, the color of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of trying to make it more restful.
Right.
Yeah. And then I think the phone manufacturers have done studies and have reached the same conclusion that phone use immediately prior to sleep is bad. And so they take the blue light out of it. At night, it gets sort of a yellow aspect to it if you have that setting. But
all right. Guys, hang on. Mobile phone addiction and the elders.
Can't comprehend every time. Give out some love and you'll find peace of love. And my darling,
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Are you ready to be well? Be Well Nutrition is buzzing into your community, creating a healthy hub just for you. Indulge in our delicious shakes, tantalize your taste buds with our refreshing teas, and explore a world of other wholesome options to fuel your well-being. At Be Well Nutrition, we're not just a destination, we're a lifestyle. Join us in cultivating health and happiness together. Be Well Nutrition, where goodness meets great taste. Visit us today and be the best version of you.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. If you're just joining us again this Friday, we'll be joined in studio by United States Senator Ron Johnson for the entire 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock hour. If you have a question that you want to ask him, go to civic.audio/Earl. Or you can call in. It's going to take some calls. Before we went to break, we were talking about, cell phone usage and the elders and the impact, negative impact that it's having. And so we got some folk who've been hanging out. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Sandy, just so you know, when you're taking your watch to bed, that's actually taking your phone to bed, just to let you know, because the watch is actually a phone.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know that. Quick question.
Tom, you're always very perceptive, Tom.
He's right.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy and I have that in common.
I just want to get the facts out.
Yeah.
Second, if we already supplied our questions through that website before, we don't need to do so again, right?
No.
From the previous time where you didn't show up?
No,
right?
No, you don't.
Okay. Because I know Rush and Ron Johnson, being in his homeland in Russia for the 4th of July, that's something that I want to make sure he gets asked. But I wanted to say also that, everything in moderation. Anytime you have whether it's the Bible, whatever it is, too much of anything is not good. Period. So everything in moderation. But I also want to say this about, CJ calls in and keeps on yelling about the border being open. The only people I hear about the border being open, which I don't know if the message gets to the people are trying to come here, are the Republicans that keep on yelling every day that the border's open. Maybe if they would just shut up and not keep on saying the border's open, maybe then people would not be coming to the border.
Yeah, you're right. In terms of the broadcasting, the lights in the sky that say the border's open all come from, the Republican attack on Biden suggesting that that's the case. Good point.
All right, let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. Just to elaborate a little more with what Tom from L.A. was saying with as far as the border and all that. I also see people complaining that, Taylor Swift's getting shoved down our throat. LGBTQ is getting shoved down our throat. All these social issues are getting shoved down their throat and put in their face. but it's the Republicans who are doing that. I don't see any of the other side doing any of that. It's the Republicans who are making the biggest deal and shoving everyone else's face. Getting to the cell phone thing, a good friend of mine, we've been best friends since like 18, and I'm in my late 50s now, so is he. And we go out to eat all the time for supper. And we will sit there, and I read news, he reads news, and we'll be sitting at a counter or something like that. And a few months ago, we had this guy come up who was a little older than us, and he said, "What would you guys do if you didn't have those phones?" And kind of in stereo, we both said, probably be reading the paper. And there was a meme on Facebook where it showed people from the 1940s on a subway car, and almost every one of the people sitting on that subway car had the paper in front of them. So I think this is just a new iteration of that, because that's what we do. We sit there and I read the news. Now, I understand that a lot of people, you know, do way overdue with TikTok and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and that's all they focus on. But I just wanted to put that in, that, you know, as an older person, it's my newspaper.
You know, Tom, it is addictive. There's no question that that I'm addicted to my phone. Because about a week ago, Sandy, I was on my way out here, and it was a snowstorm. And about a quarter of the way out here, I'm on the expressway, and I realized I didn't have my phone.
You turned around, didn't you?
Well, I was about to turn around.
Yeah.
And the reason that I sleep with my phone so near me is, I guess, an overinflated value of myself that somebody's going to call, and it's important, so I've got to answer it. And I think that's kind of what it is, Sandy. We get to a point, and all I could think of when I was and made the decision not to go back home and get the phone was, there was a time when I didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got by, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I wrote a bit of a story about that, but, you know, when I was early on in my practice of law, we'd drive 3 hours to a meeting, no phone in the car, no capacity to, you know, you'd be gone on a business trip. You'd get back, there'd be 25 pink slips to return phone calls. You'd have terrible time catching up to the phone calls. You had to make all those phone calls first before you made new phone calls. You know, the phone has made life actually a lot easier in many, many ways. And you know, my addiction to it prompted me to look at it during the break, and I saw that some breaking news about the appeal on the immunity, Trump's appeal of the immunity ruling to the Federal Court of Appeals, which he lost in a 3-to-the panel, the three judge panel voted 3-to-0. Two Democratic appointees, one Republican, voted 3-to-0 to overturn or refuse to hear the appeal on the issue, ruling that essentially Trump was not immune from all claims in his capacity not acting as president.
So we'll get into that discussion. News, weather, and sports.
A friend who taught me right from wrong and weak from strong. That's a lot to learn. What can I give you in return? If you wanted the moon, I would try to make a start. But I would rather you let me give my heart to serve with love.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former Green Bay Packers star quarterback Brett Favre still owes money in his welfare fraud case. Mississippi auditor Shad White is suing Favre for $730,000 in fines and interest on the money he took for speeches that he never gave. Favre was never charged with any crime. Deepfake images and voices are already creeping into political ads around the country. Wisconsin lawmakers don't want it to happen here. Representative Adam Nealon tells WISN-TV's Upfront the bill to label AI in political ads has bipartisan support.
This isn't a Republican issue. This isn't a Democratic issue. This is an issue that affects everybody, and that's why we wanted to make it a broad coalition and earn that bipartisan support and make sure that it's signed by the governor.
The bill would impose a $1,000 fine for violations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Superior law enforcement authorities are investigating after a pickup truck crashed into a house on Monday afternoon. According to the Superior Police Department, the crash occurred around 3:30 on Highway 2 and 41st Avenue East. The truck apparently left the roadway and hit the house before rolling over. Authorities believe that the driver of the truck may have suffered a medical emergency behind the wheel, and they were transported to the hospital. Nobody else was reported injured, and the house suffered minor damage. A Duluth man was killed in an early morning crash on Sunday. According to the Duluth Police Department, 26-year-old Logan Wook was killed in the crash that happened around 3:30 a.m. on the 1400 block of West Skyline Parkway. When authorities arrived on the scene, they found the vehicle had rolled and gone off the road. Wook was pronounced deceased at the scene, and police say he was wearing his seatbelt at the time of the crash. Authorities did not say what could have caused the crash, but it is under investigation. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on Lake Air, 1260 AM and 107.5 FM WLAK.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Taylor Swift was spotted at a Sunday event where people welcomed seeing her on camera as much as possible. They also didn't have a choice as she won her fourth Album of the Year award for her Midnights compilation. Swift is the only artist ever to win that award four times. Her past albums, Folklore, 1989, and Fearless also won the award. Swift took the opportunity during her acceptance speech to let her fans know that her next album, The Tortured Poets Department, will be released April 19th. Swift is now a 14-time Grammy winner. It's all about the sequels when it comes to commercials for movies at this year's Super Bowl. Deadpool 3, Twisters, A Quiet Place, Day One are all advertising during the big game this coming Sunday, according to Deadline. The price of a 30-second movie ad during this year's game, a cool $7 million American dollars. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Seek out the sunshine while it's here. Clouds thickening today as high temperatures surge into the low 50s. We'll be stuck under cloudy skies tomorrow as highs hit 50. Then rain rolls in by Wednesday night and lingers into Thursday. Right now, it's 35.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air, 1260 AM and 107.5 FM WLAK. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Coming to you on a dust road.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, let's go to the phone lines.
Well, let me just finish, however. Before the break, I had mentioned the fact that the three-judge panel had ruled against Donald Trump and his claim of presidential immunity. I just wanted to explain a little more.
Sandy, before you do that, we've got a caller. We want to take him. He's been waiting.
Oh.
And then we'll come to you after.
All right.
Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. I love your show, Earl.
Thank you.
But I got a question.
Go ahead.
Would you ever put CJ on your show as a guest?
No.
Well, you got his twin brother coming on Friday.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. Ron Johnson is the most useless senator we have ever had in Wisconsin. When it came time to Oshkosh Truck, got that big contract from the government to build all new postal
military
vehicles.
Right.
He said, it's none of my business to tell them where to build it. And they took that contract down to, I think it's in South Carolina.
I remember, right.
Instead of in Oshkosh. That's his territory. And he didn't fight for those jobs for our people. He is an embarrassment to this state, and that's all he is. And he's Trump's light.
You know, Bob, it is a good question, and one I think, Sandy, we should probably ask the senator. I remember that time when people were asking for that and the impact and the difference that it would make. And you're absolutely correct in his response. Sandy?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, his interest was in the corporate Oshkosh Truck rather than the workers of Oshkosh Truck, which is kind of a perverse outlook for a U.S. senator. But I guess that's what happened.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Bob. And you should listen on Friday. And, you know, maybe give us a call. All right. Talk to you later. Sandy, you were saying.
Yeah. So just getting back to this decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals, it's a three-judge panel. The way this U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia works is they'll hear things in a three-judge panel, even though there are many more than three judges in that court. And then it's possible for the decision of the three-judge panel to get appealed to the full court or directly to the Supreme Court. And what this three-judge panel was considering was the question of Donald Trump's immunity from all charges associated with this case being brought by the special prosecutor Smith, associated with January 6th and some other matters. And what the court ruled was that for the purpose of this criminal case, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump with all of the defenses of any other criminal defendant. Former President Trump lacked any lawful discretionary authority to defy federal criminal law, and he is answerable in court for his conduct. So they ruled against what Trump has been asserting now for some while, which is that a president needs to be absolutely immune from criminal prosecution for anything that he does during his period of presidency or thereafter, because he said otherwise every president's going to get indicted,
right,
which, of course, hasn't been the case. And so this is a very important ruling, and it undoubtedly means that ultimately this question is going to get to the Supreme Court. You know, as we recall, Special Prosecutor Smith tried to get the Supreme Court to consider this case in the first instance, and they said, no, we're going to wait. And so now the three-judge panel has ruled, and that this ruling can now go to the Supreme Court.
So that district, Federal of Columbia ruling.
Yeah, the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia is a particularly important circuit court of appeals, because that circuit court here's all of the appeals from federal government actions.
So it carries weight with the Supreme Court itself, is it?
Well, the Supreme Court, I mean, does anything carry weight with the Supreme Court? They're the ultimate sayers, but it is the most highly regarded court of appeals.
Yeah, so it also, Sandy, I guess, would mean that this would be retroactive. I mean, so that decision. So Trump, you know, did what he did when he was president. If based on their ruling, it doesn't say from this point forward, it would mean ever, right?
Well, what they're saying is that when a president is acting in his capacity as a citizen, he's liable. And of course, it's retroactive because it's retroactive to the situation being considered, which is the Trump situation.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, it is all of these different things happening at the same time, and people not being able to understand the court proceedings. These things are all legal, and again, you're a barrister. You're a barrister.
Barrister, yes.
Yeah.
The British term. I should wear the wig.
Yeah. And so you guys understand the inner workings. To us, to the average layperson, things just seem to make sense. And why is that not? It's sensical that this man and the things that he said and he's done, he should be held accountable. Well, but that's not the way it's.
Well, and the other thing about justice is the wheels do move slowly. And in this particular instance, that's really Donald Trump's main legal strategy here, which is to slow down all of these legal proceedings to the point where he can be nominated and potentially elected president before these legal wheels can actually turn to resolve these cases.
So, Sandy, help us understand why it makes sense that any president should be able to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Be immune?
No, that he created a crime and he can absolve himself.
Well, that's that. Or pardon himself.
Pardon himself. Why does that make any sense whatsoever?
Well, that hasn't been decided. So a president has never yet pardoned himself, and it remains an open question as to whether
it can be done.
Whether it can be done, and I guess I have a question in my mind: what the court would rule? The pardon power of the president is actually derived from the pardon commutation power of the kings. And it was then built into the U.S. jurisprudence to kind of continue that process. But there's been very little court action to decide what the range of power for pardoning is.
So when they make the decision, is that the Supreme Court as well? Who will determine that?
Well, it would be that the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of the law of the United States. And so it would have to be the Supreme Court who would decide whether a president could pardon himself.
Do you think that the Supreme Court, as it's presently composed, would Sandy look at this situation and take into consideration the long-term ramifications of making the decision to protect one person? I mean, you would think that the oath that they swear to become a Supreme Court justice would outweigh, right?
If, you know, that goes to the character of the individuals, okay, and the extent to which they would put the long-term interest of the country above short-term interests. And, you know, there has been some questioning recently about at least the ethics of members of the Supreme Court. And I suppose people who might act unethically might also not act in the long-term interest of the country and might act in what they perceive to be their own short-term interests or the short-term interests of whatever it is they're pursuing. You know, the question of immunity for the president is an important one. And the notion that a president could be absolutely immune regardless of the conduct that is alleged is kind of abhorrent to the notion of our democracy.
You know, Sandy, you know, being living the kind of life that you've lived and being educated in the manner that you've been educated, could you ever have imagined that we would be here where we are right now in this country, notwithstanding that the guy's name is Donald Trump, that our country would be teetering where it is now?
Well, you know, and the fact is I kind of was smiling because I think what's happening is that what the way our country is right now is beyond the potential imagination of the founders, okay? People are now acting in a manner which is all the way out at the logical extreme of what it is you could possibly imagine human conduct might be given parameters, right? Given right. the parameters of the system. And you know, it's this absolute out of bounds, beyond the norms conduct that has become the norm that is confounding, I think, the capacity of our laws, including our Constitution, to deal with the circumstances that it's creating. And it's dangerous, you know. The fact is that we couldn't have expected our founding fathers to have imagined every potential circumstance and the dangerous circumstances that they might be. And we need to deal with them based on a sense of the current situation.
You know, Sandy, you and I both remember how outlandish it was when Richard Nixon and Watergate, and how people turned on him, and how even Republicans thought that what he did was abhorrent. And he was run out of office with his head between his legs. And here we are. And what Donald Trump has done makes that stuff look like kid's play.
Well, you know, it's as I said, I think it's because we've evolved. Our politics have evolved to the point where self-interest and partisan interest exceeds national interest. And the whole reason that we have to remember what went on during that period. Spiro Agnew was run out of office because he committed crimes and he resigned
right.
Quickly. Okay, and Richard Nixon didn't get to be impeached. He resigned because once the articles of impeachment came up and once the investigation commenced, it was clear that he was implicated or would be implicated. And there wasn't any sense that it would be a partisan vote. There was a sense that if implicated, he would get not impeached and convicted. And so he resigned. And I think that was a period when there was a far greater sense of responsibility to the republic than there is today.
You know, Sandy, I remember the both of them basically saying we did not want to put the nation through this. Right?
Right.
I mean, you know, you had to have some modicum of respect today for that, because that will never be the case now. So hang on the line, Susan. And, you know, when Sandy and I...
We'll continue talking about this issue, because I think it's interesting, breaking news like this, but this has been hanging out there waiting to be decided, and it looks like now the decision process is maybe going to be expedited.
And we're also going to touch base on how to reclaim life after years of caregiving.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone lines. And Susan from Kenosha, good morning to you, Susan. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just love listening to your show. And, Sandy, you really do give me a lot of information to go with when I have my discussions. Actually, I had a discussion group earlier this morning, and we were talking about the very same things that you were talking about.
Hang on, Susan. So you said Sandy gives you information when you were having discussions with your group.
Yes, he makes me want to read more. I'm looking for my, I am a firm believer in reading. Of course, you know that. And I'm looking for my copy of the Federalist Papers because I think the answer might be there. Because James Madison was a brilliant man. And when he got together with, I can't remember the two other men that he got together, and they wrote the Federalist Papers to explain to America how our system of government works, I'm positive in dealing with Trump is going to be in the Federalist Papers because like I say, James Madison was a brilliant man. He thought out he helped think out the Constitution, and the Constitution is based on a lot of things that he had to say. And he took copious notes, he's like me, on all these discussions and try to puzzle together the best for the American people. And
Susan, let me just direct you to actually something Alexander Hamilton wrote. It's kind of short, but it's unbelievably prescient. This is Alexander Hamilton. When a man unprincipled in private life, desperate in his fortune, bold in his temper, despotic in his ordinary demeanor, known to have scoffed in private at the principles of liberty, when such a man is seen to mount the hobby horse of popularity, to join in the cry of danger to liberty, to take every opportunity of embarrassing the general government and bringing it under suspicion, to flatter and fall in with all the nonsense of the zealots of the day, it may justly be suspected that his object is to throw things into confusion that he may ride the storm and direct the whirlwind. It was Alexander Hamilton describing what he thought could be a dangerous politician who would be a populist who could lead the people astray. And kind of a remarkable description, actually.
Susan?
Yes, I agree. It's Trump. And this is what he's doing. And this is what these people have been doing. It's the same with Roe versus Wade, the immigration, everything. Fear tactics. Get afraid of everybody. But that's not what this country was based on. And Alexander Hamilton is exactly right on spot. And you are. And that's why I enjoy listening to this program, because without people like you, there would be more fear. We have to calm this down. We have to get these people who are in office, who are only there for money and power and not for the American people. We have to put people back in the office who are for the benefit of the American people. And I include the refugees and immigrants in this, because sooner or later they will be our people and they will be Americans. God bless. And God bless you too. I love listening to your program.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much. We love having you weigh in. I think those are poignant, very poignant points that you have made. And so we don't have time to get into that last, discussion, Sandy. But, you know, it is true that where we are now should be a danger to anyone who has lived any extended period of time and sees our nation where it is now and knowing what it was. And there's always been harrowing times in our nation, Sandy. We've gone through a lot in the time that our nation has been around. But this particular issue.
Yeah, I'm just not sure we've ever had a situation where a person, this ex-president Trump, who had so many people who were close to him, who he appointed, who he anointed, who he claimed to be people of importance in his administration, who, when they got close to him, were able to judge the man and decide that he was, in fact, a danger to the Republic. I mean, it's not just Liz Cheney or John Kelly. John Kelly was his chief of staff, right? And this is what John Kelly said about him. The depths of his dishonesty is just astounding to me. The dishonesty, the transactional nature of every relationship, though it's more pathetic than anything else. He's the most flawed person I have ever met in my life. And this kind of thing has been repeated by
his attorney general,
William Barr. William Barr, and all these people are warning us. They're taking an action which is contrary to their personal interests. They're taking on an ex-president of the United States to tell us all that this person is a danger to the Republic. Elect someone else. You know, nominate someone else. Liz Cheney is all about nominating someone else. She's a staunch Republican, but she's basically saying the most important thing we can do is make sure that Donald Trump is not president of the United States.
All right, we got to leave it there. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Greg Baugh and Jane Mattner in Mattner on Air. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Sandy. Thank all of you who made the show go.
The St. Croix Valley.
We're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old Where the Comedians line? That's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the thinking, comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something. But sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special